I'm pumped for 26 people. It's going to be awesome. But let's get back. Christmas. I was thinking about my favorite gift I've ever received. And I know Meg's got me some great ones. But this one was from my mum. Because your mum gives you some good, you know, I got a good one. And I remember, I don't know what year it was, but I was probably about 8, 9, 10 years old. And it was the era of the PlayStation 2. Anyone have any PlayStation 2? Any PS2 people? Okay, so all of my friends, this is not a PS2, as you can see. Because all my friends had a PlayStation 2. And I was seeing all of the cool games they had. I was going over their house. And then I come down Christmas morning. All of the presents are there. And I unwrap the PS1. And when I tell you, this was the best gift I've ever had. Because everyone else had their PS1 for ages, they want the PS2. So I was a little bit behind. And so it turned out it was my uncle's PS1 because he just got a PS2. And he didn't want it anymore. But when I tell you, how many PlayStation 1 people in the room? Crash Bandicoot, Spyro the Dragon, any of these? Come on. This was like the best gift. And we are a gift family. I'm less of a gift person. But I've said it before that my wife's top three love languages are gifts. I can be away for 6 months at a time, just keep sending a package a day, she knows she's loved. And so she loves gifts, she loves receiving gifts. And it turns out that my daughter has inherited the same core values. But I think I've given some good gifts over time. My wife and I, we were able to do some work when we in the UK when we first got married for a summer and earned some good money, and Christmas time comes just before Christmas and I booked some flights to New York City. Come on, everyone. 3 days in New York, went to Broadway. I was good. It's good. I'm good with the big gifts. Like a big one once a decade. No, like good gifts. But Evelyn, Meg's mum, Evelyn's grandma, gave us, if you know the advent calendar where you're opening up some doors, you're getting some chocolates every day. Right? So she gave us an advent calendar, except it was a gift a day for the family from Meg's mum. And Evelyn can't quite say the advent calendar correctly. So she wakes up every morning at 5:30 demanding to open the Evelyn calendar. And so she thinks it's all for her. It's like, no, babe, we all get gifts. They're not all just for you. And we've got lots of different ones. And she's been known through this month to try and break in. And this is for Evelyn and Noah, but Ev doesn't quite understand this concept that maybe they would be shared. But we're talking about the greatest gift this Christmas. And that'll be of no surprise to you if you are a Christian that we have a bias on what we think the greatest gift is. You're in church this morning, and we have discovered the greatest gift. And we're talking about this good news. We started the service singing this song, Good News. We're talking about this good news that we have discovered a gift, and his name is Jesus. And this time of year, we get two main times of the year in our calendar where we all come around and reflect on who the person of Jesus and the gift he is to us, Easter and Christmas. And if you are an Easter and Christmas person, we do meet other times of year. You're welcome to come at different moments in the year. But if you're here, we are celebrating because we have discovered the good news. What is the good news? We've read this verse a couple of times this month already. John 3, verse 16. This is the good news. That the greatest gift was given. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have eternal life. I want us to talk a little bit about the gift of who Jesus is. And I don't know how your Christmas mornings were. And again, I know Christmas hits different people differently, but let me just describe my Christmas mornings. We'd come downstairs into our house. I have two siblings, two sisters, and we'd have some gifts here for my younger sister, some gifts here for myself, some gifts for my sister, my older sister. And we'd come down and we were so excited to unwrap these gifts. And here's what I felt as I was praying for us in our gathering this morning. I felt to encourage and remind some people that as we gather today, Jesus has some gifts for us under our metaphorical tree today. And I want to talk you through five gifts that you today, whilst we gather for the next 25 minutes in church, you get the choice to unwrap these gifts or leave them wrapped. You've got the choice of whether you come and engage in the idea that there are some gifts that God has for us today, or you can leave them where they are. And I want to encourage you, urge you, plead with you to unpack these gifts for yourself today. That as you do this, I believe Jesus comes and he changes and transforms lives. And it's because of some of the gifts that I want to talk about today that I think if you open these gifts, I don't know how 2025 has been for you. Maybe it's been a great year. Maybe it's been a tough year. You can finish the year in a profoundly different manner than how you've lived this year if you open up these gifts today. And so there's five gifts that I want to tell you about. And the first is this, that you today, if you want to, can unwrap a gift from Jesus, and it's called a clean conscience. That's a gift that you have today that you can unwrap. Let me just read a verse from the Bible to explain this to us. Hebrews 10 verse 22 says this, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience." I don't know what 25 has been like for you. I don't know how you've lived it. I don't know what experiences you've had this year. Maybe it's been a great year. But for all of us, at some point in our life, there is something that happens that will stick to you, and it's called sin. There are things that happen in our lives, challenges that come our way, painful things that happen. And here's the promise today, that whilst we gather in this moment, you don't need to walk out those doors with a guilty conscience anymore. It can all be wiped away. That's the promise of the greatest gift, that you can unwrap for yourself today a clean conscience. Whatever you've done this year, this is the beauty and the promise of the Christian faith, that in every other major worldview, a major world religion, you are trying to do things, enough good things, to take care of the bad things you've done. And here's the promise of the Christian faith, or here's the contention of it. It's that you will never be able to do enough good things to make up for the bad things. You'll never be able to do it. And more than that, the sin that sticks to us, sometimes the shame that sticks to us, it's impossible to take off without the grace that Jesus brings. We live in these cycles of frustration and shame and disappointment and discouragement. And so a simple encouragement to you today is there is a gift for you, and it's a clean conscience, that you can be washed. You can be, it says, and having our bodies washed with pure water. What is it? It is the washing that comes from being in Jesus. That when we surrender our lives to him, he comes and all of the things I've ever done that have brought shame and discouragement and disappointment into my life, they're dealt with. Isn't that good news? I think it's good news that we get to come and have our conscience cleaned, washed. Whatever life has been like up till now, you can have a fresh start. Maybe someone did something to you and it's caused you to feel this shame and this guilt. Well, you can have a clean conscience. Before you walk out the doors today, your life could be changed. Did you know that? That when you walk into church, can I tell you something? Church in December matters, everybody. Because there's an opportunity for us to look back and reflect. And when we step into these doors, we don't need to be the same person when we walk out of them. That, friends, is good news. The second gift I want to encourage you to unwrap today is peace about your future. Peace about your future. I know so many people in life who have this either low level or at times high level anxiety in their lives about the future. Uncertainty about what's coming. You the closer you get to the end of 2025, the more anxious you get about 2026. You don't know what you're stepping into after your studies. You don't know if work is on the horizon. You don't know. You've got questions. I often go back to this story. I love this story so much in the Bible, where Jesus is in this boat with the disciples. The disciples and Jesus, they're heading across this lake. And Jesus falls asleep in this boat. And whilst asleep, a storm erupts around the disciples. There is a crazy storm to the point where they are fearing for their own life. That's the extent to this storm. And Jesus is fast asleep. He is fast asleep. Anyone ever felt that Jesus was fast asleep whilst you were in a storm? It's all going on. It feels crazy. You say, hey, is anyone? What's happening? Why was he asleep? Because he knew the future. He knew it was going to be good. They wake him up. Jesus, what are we? Wake up, we're going to die. He's like, you know that you're with me, eh? We're good. Some of us have gone through this year with a storm raging around us, and we've forgotten the extent to his power. But let me even say this. Some of us need Jesus in the boat with us, because the next part of the story is the amazing part of the story, that when he wakes up, he tells the storm, be quiet. And the storm stills. And some of us today in the room have a storm raging inside of us. Some of you, the storm is outside. It's external to your life. It's circumstantial. There is a crazy storm of circumstances going on. But some of us, we have an internal storm raging within us. And Jesus comes as the one who quiets storms today and say, you can leave this room and unwrap the gift about a peace for your future. Or you can head out and continue to be afraid. The choice is ours today. I just want to pose the question to you, what do you want to do? Because let me tell you about the third gift. The third gift is this, that you can unwrap the gift that is called joy in your pain. That's the third gift that you get given today. You don't get given a pain-free life. None of us can expect that. But the Bible does invite us to a way of life that gives us joy in our pain. Let me read to us from James 1 verse 2. James 1 verse 2 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Wow, what a story. What an idea, what a concept, that in the middle of pain, we can have joy. Why is that? Because on its face, it seems illogical. On its face, it seems like you may be putting your head in the sand, that you're ignoring the realities around you, that people would look at you and say, do you know what's really going on? My pastors would often tell a story of when their business went into bankruptcy because of someone else's business failing on them. Their son got mixed up in all kinds of violence and hooliganism in the UK and nearly went into prison. And in the middle of this season, there was a moment where they went into the car, they turned up some worship music, some praise music as loud as they could, wound the windows all the way down, and they just laughed. They just laughed. They were together, they were just laughing. They had joy. They say, we don't know what the future holds, but we know the one who holds it. We got joy. He's good, even in these times. Let me tell you about joy. Why can we have joy in the pain? Joy in your pain comes from the perspective that God is still good, even when my circumstances are not. Even when it's the storm is raging, God's still good. He's still good. Let me tell you, friends, in your life today, God's still good. I don't know what you came into church with on your shoulders today, but let me promise you something. God's still good. He's still faithful. He still provides. He still shows up just on time. God's still good. And that brings joy into your life, even in the middle of painful circumstances. Let me give you another gift that I would love you to unwrap today. And this is a gift that you're going to be able to really enjoy in 2026 if you choose to. And it's this, a life-giving community. A life-giving community. Let me tell you something. This church was not our idea. This was Jesus' idea. My wife and I were living in the UK, and Meg was a practicing lawyer, and we're leading a church in the UK. Do you know what idea I did not have? I did not have the idea of planting a church in the southern suburbs of Cape Town. Frankly, I did not know that Cape Town had southern suburbs. I didn't know that was a thing. This was not our idea. This was his idea. And we get to be in this life-giving community, and you can unwrap that gift. Because if you step into it, some of you, you've been attending our church for some time, but you haven't stepped into the life-giving community. I promise you that he had this idea for you, not just for us. You need it. You need it to get the fullness of life, but guess what? You also need it, as I've been saying recently a little bit, as an insurance policy. You don't know you need people until you need people. And when life really gets bad, then you know you need some people in your corner. You need people. You need a life-giving community. I was thinking about a friend of mine who's a part of our church, going through a very tough time this year. And in the middle of this season, he was going through some really challenging circumstances. It was causing some real tension in his marriage. And so in the middle of that time, I jump on the phone. I ring another couple in the church and say, hey, can this person stay with you just for a couple of days? And that couple laid everything else aside and said, come stay with us. And then another couple in our church, they got around this couple and they threw everything else down, canceled other plans and said, we want to take care of you and we're going to take care of you. And then this couple helped to get them into a support group and a recovery group and went on a journey. And let me tell you something. What the enemy uses for evil, God will use for good. Because now I see that person in a place of life and health in such a better way. But here's the only way that happened. Because there was a life-giving community around them. Some of you, you've gone through some things this year and you were looking around to try and find the people in your corner and you didn't see them. But here's the promise today. There's a gift. Unwrap it. It's called a life-giving community. And you today can have the choice to step in and say, not only as I finish 25, but as I step into 26, I'm going to choose to put myself into a place that's going to bring health to me, that's going to bring life to me, that's going to bring healing to me, that's going to restore me, that's going to challenge me, that's going to call me up to the more, that's going to pull potential out of me. We need it. We need it. I want to encourage you to unwrap that gift before you go. You guys know what it's like. Sometimes we say, yeah, I'll get around to it. Sometimes you've got to make a decision in the moment and say, I need this. Let me give you the final gift I think that God has for us to unwrap today. And the final gift I want to tell you about this morning is that he wants us to unwrap this gift, and it's called a reason to live. A reason to live. The way we often say it in our church is that we say that God will help you to discover your purpose. That he's going to give you a reason to live. To help you to know what it is that you were made for. Why are you here? What are you called to? What's the purpose on your life? I know many people who get into their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and they're still trying to figure out, why am I here? The promise of Jesus is that when he saves you, I want us to understand this, that we don't just find Jesus and then wait till we get to heaven. Jesus didn't teach the Lord's Prayer and say, save me until I get to you. No. What does he say? He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he teaches us to pray. So what is that to say? It's to say that when he saves you, it's to establish his kingdom on the earth. It's for a reason. There's something every one of us in this room today, those of you watching online afterwards, there's a reason why God saved you. There's a reason why you're in the room. There's a purpose that he's made you for. Some of us, we've got this internal itch and we've tried to push in lots of different directions to figure out, why am I here? And it is only in the person of Jesus that you can discover it. How do we unpack these gifts? How do we unpack them? How do we unwrap them for ourselves today? Because there are gifts, these gifts of a clean conscience, these gifts of joy, these gifts of life-giving community. How do we unwrap these things? It's actually quite simple. And I want to read a verse to you to help you to see it just now. This verse is found in John 14. And it says this. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus makes a bold contention. And he says, every other worldview, every other religion, every other idea will not get you the clean conscience you're after, will not get you the closeness to God that you're after. Some of you will call it different things, closeness to the universe or closeness to your truth or whatever language you try and put around it. All of us are trying to go on this journey to discover what it is we're here for. And Jesus makes this bold claim. He says, good news, there's one way. That is good news, friends. I mean, it simplifies the whole thing for us. He says, there's one way. I am him. I am it. I am the way. I am the truth. You can search for truth. I am the truth. And I am the life. That's it. And when you find life in Jesus, he's going to cleanse your conscience. When you find life in Jesus, he's going to bring life into you that is going to free you from the past. It's going to give you a fresh start. So I just want to urge some of you in the room today, maybe if you're watching just now online, don't leave this moment without unwrapping the gift. Because you, friends, I want to tell you the significance, the power, the wonder of this moment of saying, I want a fresh start. It can change your life. And I believe that God has that for some of us in the room today. That you can start, finish 25 different, start 26.